Well, I'm Dave Huff, and I'm an audiologist. I test hearing and balance right behind Integris Baptist Medical Center. And I am not a professional minister or pastor, and so I think that's one of the reasons why they wanted me to do this. Besides that, John Crawford was down with a heart ailment, and so John's the expert in scripture memory. But in some ways, I'm a little bit more qualified because I'm a lay person to talk to you guys about that, because I take it not many of you guys are pastors or ministers or professional folks who minister to people. So, but yet we all do minister in different ways. That's good. You've got in your hand there the outline of this scripture memory course and the objectives there. Are to, number one, fall in love with God's Word. And love is an interesting word. We use it a lot these days, and I stopped using it about 2 years ago in the normal sense. So I started thinking that, boy, if I'm going to use the word love, I want to use it for special things, for God and for people. And so that's when I use the word love these days. I don't love my dog. I don't love chocolate. I crave it, but I don't love it. And so I use the word love for God and people, but there's something else we can use the word love for. And right here, Psalm 119, 165, if you noticed it, those who love thy law have great peace. And so I saw that and I thought, wow, I can also love God's word. And so falling in love with God's Word is the first objective. And then also we're going to learn various methodology for memorizing God's Word. And we're going to memorize one verse. So this is a workshop. We're going to do a little bit of work, and we're going to memorize a verse. And I'm sure that each of you probably have memorized some verses in the past. That's great. So you'll get to choose which verse you're going to memorize there. But I can help you with those last two, but the first one, loving God's Word and falling more in love with God's Word, I can't do a thing about it. I can't stir your heart. I don't care how eloquent a speaker I might be, which I'm not. I don't care how ginned up I get you. I can't do anything to move your heart to love God's Word more or to love Him more. So let's pray and ask God's Spirit to do that, because God can do that. God can move hearts, whereas I can't. So let's pray. Father God, we just welcome you to this time. We thank you for your Spirit that can move our hearts and speak to us. And Father, we thank you that you love us so much that you sent your Son to die for us and to wash us clean so that we can talk to you now. And we thank you for your word that talks to us and speaks to us and speaks to our heart and moves our heart, and how you call us from your word. So, Father, we just invite you to this time. We pray that you would stir our hearts to love you and love your Son more and to fall more in love with your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Related to that, down below there's take your pick. You're going to hear lots of verses throughout the conference and maybe during this session that just kind of strike you. Some verses will slap you around. Some verses will take you down and maybe convict you of sin. And other verses that folks around you might be sharing might lift you up and really get you excited and encourage you. Jot those verses down. And so that's what take your pick is for, is just jot your verses down below there. Any verses that really strike you and are special to you. And that way you'll begin to pick some scripture that's really special to you and that God is speaking to you from, and hopefully follow through and memorize it. Getting a hold on God's Word, just personally, I came to the Lord when I was about 16, I think. It may have been when I was 12 when I first asked Jesus into my heart, but then later 16 when I recommitted my life to the Lord. And then I'd been reading God's Word for about a year. And as I was reading God's Word, I read John chapter 1. And John chapter 1 is just a fantastic chapter. Maybe some of you guys have read that. It is just fantastic. It really stirs you. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And of course, it goes on and says that Jesus was the Word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. That's 1:14. And so it just goes on. It's just beautiful. It's poetic. It's powerful. But it wasn't powerful to me. As I read it, I closed the Bible, and I did say, God, that's really pretty. But it seemed to go in one ear and out the other. And I said, God, that was real pretty, but I don't see how that's going to affect my life today. That doesn't impact me personally. And so I said, God, I prayed a prayer. I said, God, I'm going to begin to study this one chapter. I'm going to study it. I'm going to dive into it. And You better speak to me, because I believe that this is Your Word, but if it doesn't speak, I don't believe it. And I'm just going to quit if You don't speak to me from Your Word. And so I began studying it and working hard at God's Word, diving into it. And God began to stir my heart and give me a love for His Word. And words are amazing. I'm sitting here transmitting my thoughts to your brain with something that's invisible coming out of my mouth, vibrating your eardrum. And I know something about that because I'm a hearing doctor. And so I'm vibrating your little eardrum. But you know, if I look in your ear and I'm looking at your eardrum, I can't see it move. I don't know how that's getting in there. It's amazing. God's causing that to... He causes my mouth to form these words, and it vibrates your eardrum. It sends a signal to your brain, and my thoughts are transmitted to your brain. And that's just what Jesus does, is He takes God's thoughts and transfers them to us through His Word. And He is the living Word, and He's done that. 1:18 that I was just studying, once again, John chapter 1 with my dad here recently, really touched me. 1:18. Let's see, it's a brand new verse for me, so let's see if I can say it. It says, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, that is Jesus, He has explained Him. There you go. So there's the words explaining the mind of God. So God the Father and Jesus, the physical aspect of God, is explaining God. And so we got to see Jesus right in front of us, and the Word became flesh. And so I began to see that. I studied John for a long time. In Thailand, I studied it. And it really hit me there that there are 15 names of Jesus in that first chapter of John. It's an introduction. There are 5 introductions to Jesus in that first chapter of John. And John, as he wrote that, is saying, meet Jesus. And so it's the introduction of Jesus. And so as I studied that, God began to speak to me and really touch my heart and thrill my heart. And I began to fall in love with His Word. And I've been in love with it ever since. And so, yet they're dry spells. And so, but Scripture memory has been special for me. And I began to memorize Scripture at about age 16, but I didn't really have a handle on it or God's Word until I got into the 2:7. And I don't know if you guys have heard of the Colossians 2:7 series that was designed by the Navigators, but it gets you into God's Word with Bible reading highlights as you're going through your quiet time, and you jot your notes down, so it's kind of like journaling, and also Scripture memory and sharing in a fellowship group, a small group of guys or girls. And so I began to memorize systematically there with the 2:7, about 60 verses I had under my belt after I got through with the 2:7. And those 60 verses were really special. And so I pressed on. But how are you going to get a hold of God's Word? How are you going to get it into your life? How are you going to fall in love with it? And so I'd encourage you guys to think of that and think of a plan. How are you going to get it into your life? My mom is one who really knows God's Word well. And whenever I have a question about God's Word, I'll go to her. And, Mom, where's that verse that says this? And so she'll be able to tell me, well, you know, I think it sounds like Leviticus chapter 9. You know, if you look there, I think you'll find it in there somewhere. So she reads through the Bible every year. And she's done that for about 40 years. And she knows the Bible like the back of her hand. Some years she'll read through it a couple of times with some different translations. So she knows the Word very well. And so I thought, well, boy, that sounds good to me. I'm going to follow her. So I'm going to start doing that, reading through God's Word. And then another guy that I heard speak suggested something different. Howie Hendricks from Dallas Theological Seminary. And he'd talk, and he's just a great speaker. And he'd say, guys, he said, you need to take one book of the Bible and just focus on it for 1 year. And so just stay in that book and focus on it. And so I thought, that sounds like a good idea. He said, you know, after 10 years, you're going to have 10 books of the Bible. You're going to have them under your belt. You're going to know them like the back of your hand. And so I began doing that every other year. First 1 year, I'd read through the Bible. Then the next year, I'd focus on one book. And then I'd read through the Bible and focus on one book. So I'd get this telescopic view of God's Word and then a microscopic view of God's Word. So I began to do that, and I had a plan. And as I got the microscopic view, I'd also be memorizing some verses out of that book study. And I began doing that. And that has been really thrilling. I've done that for a number of years now, and it's been really good to get the broad view of God's Word and then get a focused view of God's Word in a book study. But develop your own plan for getting God's Word into your life and into your heart. That's really important. Many of you guys know the hand illustration. Maybe you've seen that in some of the navigator circles. It's hearing God's Word, reading God's Word, studying God's Word, memorizing it, and in everything, meditating. So that's the hand illustration of how you can get God's Word into your heart. Hearing it, if you hear it, what you're hearing now, maybe you'll retain 10% if you're really good tomorrow or next week. 10%? Maybe not. I don't. So 10% if you hear it. If you're reading it, maybe more like 30%. If you're really good at retaining things, you'll remember maybe 30% if you're reading it and hearing it especially. So we got some great tools for hearing God's Word. We got CDs now where you can listen to the whole Bible as you're commuting to work or something. Also, reading God's Word daily, that's important. Revelation 1:3 says, blessed are those who read, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the testimony and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near. Also, studying God's Word. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, handling accurately the word of truth. So, study to show yourself approved. Maybe you'll retain 50% of that which you study. And then memorizing, you're going to get 100% of whatever you memorize because it's going to stay with you. Hopefully you're not going to memorize it and then just lose what you worked so hard to gain. So memorizing God's Word is really good. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to thy word. With my whole heart I seek thee. Let me not wander from thy commandments. I have laid up thy word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. That's Psalm 119, 9, 10, and 11. So memorizing is important. And in every one of these, we meditate. So meditation, whether you're memorizing, reading it, or studying it, or hearing it, you're going to be thinking about it. You're going to be mulling over these things, thinking about those things. Joshua 1:8 talks about meditating on God's Word. And then you'll get a good grasp on God's Word. And I added one other thing to that, and that is application. So application is the real internalization of God's Word. That's where you really get it, is when you're applying it to God's, to your life. So that's important, to get a handle on God's Word. Now, what I'd like for us to do is to take about 4 minutes, and you guys just work through those verses. Maybe one of them has already struck you already. And so I'd like for you to just pray through those verses. Maybe some of you aren't done circling keywords and answering the question there of what do we learn about the value of Scripture and walking with God. You can feel free to do that as well if you have some extra time. But what I'd like for you to do is to pray over the verses and pick one and write it out on that little verse card that I gave you, the blank verse card. You should have one. If you don't, there are some in the back there. And write out the verse on that verse card, whatever strikes you. So this is the verse I'm going to work on. So I'm going to be working with you. And the way I want you to write it out is write the reference first, upper left, and write the verse out just like this. So here it is as an example down here. Psalm 119, 165. If you're going to write it out correctly. I wrote it out incorrectly. So it should be 165. So write the reference verse and then reference again down here at the bottom. And I made the mistake twice there. Psalm 119, 165. Those who love thy law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble. So the way I want you to memorize that is, we're going to do it my way here. Maybe some of you guys have some other ways of memorizing, but the way you do it is you cover and uncover. So here at first you're going to cover things up. So 165 of Psalm 119 is the verse. Okay, so there I've got the verse right. Good. Now the first line, what is the first line? Those who love thy law. Okay, so you work on that. Those who love thy law. So now I cover and uncover. That's the first line, approximately. So I cover it. Psalm 119, 165. By the way, I've never memorized this. Those who love thy law. Let's see if I have it right. Yeah, those who love thy law have great peace. Okay, so now I'm going to cover and uncover again. Psalm 119, 165. Those who love thy law have great peace. Let's see if I'm right. Psalm 119, 165 instead of 65. Those who love thy law have great peace. Great, I've got the first part down. And nothing causes them to stumble. Okay. Those who love thy law have great peace. And nothing causes them to stumble. So I cover it and uncover it. Psalm 119, 165. Those who love thy law have great peace. Those who love thy law have great peace, okay? And nothing causes them to stumble. And nothing causes them to stumble. Great. Okay, so I said it right. Word perfect once. Then do it twice. Do it again. Psalm 119, 165. Those who love thy law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble. Psalm 119, 165. Those who love thy law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble. Psalm 119, 165. You say the verse before and after, because that's the hardest part, is to say that reference. And so 119, 165, you say it first, then you say it at the end as well. So that'll help you really get the address of that verse down. So now I've said it twice in a row, and now I'm going to walk away from the verse for a few minutes. And that's what you guys are going to do too. So one of the advantages of this cover and uncover is it's immediate correction. So as you're uncovering there, after you say line by line, if you made a mistake, you go, oop, I made a mistake. And so then if you do make a mistake, go back to the beginning and cover it up and try to say it again, those lines that you were trying to get down. And so it's immediate correction, and then you go back and cover and uncover again. Got it? So let's work on that for 4 minutes, and if you have some extra time, you can work on circling those verses and writing the rest of that out in column one there. And I'll be working with you. Guys, don't worry about memorizing that verse yet. Just go ahead and write it out, and then we'll stop after about 4 minutes. And then we'll work on memorizing it here in a minute, line by line, cover and uncover. Good, another minute or so. Good, and you'll have time to finish writing that out if you haven't done that already. Why memorize God's Word? The pure motive, that which what is right, is that we should desire to know Him. And so it is good to memorize His Word if you want to know Him. Why is that? Because that is His revelation of who He is. Psalm 138:2 is an amazing verse. So here's the character of God, pure and perfect. And God says in Psalm 138:2, I will bow down toward thy holy temple, David is saying. I will bow down toward thy holy temple and give thanks to thy name for thy loving kindness and thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word according to all thy name. So God has revealed his names in Scripture, and his word is equal to all of his name, it says there. He's magnified his word according to all his name. If you want to get to know God, get to know his word. So God is creator. How did he create the heavens and the earth? Through his word, Genesis 1, 1 through 3. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. So his word is powerful. It's all powerful. He just says it and it's done. That's amazing. That would be amazing to have that sort of power. God has it. And God is, of course, all-powerful. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their hosts. 33:6 of Psalms says that. Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer which shatters a rock. So his word also is powerful. God is powerful. His word is powerful. God is eternal. His word is eternal. Jesus said, heaven and earth may pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Matthew 24:35. And God is our Savior, and God's word is how he saves folks. So James 1:21 says, what does that say? Wickedness. Therefore, setting aside all wickedness and all that remains of, therefore, setting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. So it's the word that can save as well. Jesus says that my word is spirit and life in John 6:63. And God, of course, is spirit. So if you want to get to know him, get to know his word. This is his love letter to you. So from the very beginning, through Genesis, from Genesis all the way through to Revelation, this is the unveiling of his great plan of drawing people to himself and explaining his love for us. And so this is his love letter to you. And that's what's going to stir your heart. If you want to maintain your first love for God, well, get into his word and have his word penetrate your heart. That's his love letter to you. Micah 7:18-20 talks about this. This is a new verse for me, so bear with me. Let's see if I can say it. Who is a God like thee, O Lord, who pardons iniquity and passes over the rebellious acts of the remnant of his possession? He does not retain his anger forever because he delights in unchanging love. Boy, isn't that great? He doesn't retain his anger forever because he delights in unchanging love. So his anger may change, but not his love. His love is constant.
What was
that verse? That is Micah 7:18-20. I'm not quite through with it. I'm trying to work my way through it. And then it says, toward the end, verse 20 there, it talks about his forgiveness, and it says, he does not retain his anger forever because he delights in unchanging love. I can't remember that 19. But 20 says, thou wilt give truth to Jacob and unchanging love to Abraham, which thou didst swear to our forefathers from the days of old. So it's talking about his forgiveness there in verse 19. It talks about how he's going to pass over the rebellious acts of the remnant of his possession. And so, anyway, it's a great verse that really touched me as I read that. So it's his love letter to us, and it began all the way back in Genesis. His word to Abraham was unchanging love. It went all the way through to Jesus. And, of course, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. And it continues on, for God, but God shows his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So it's his love letter to us. So let's go ahead now and memorize that verse. And some of you guys have already memorized it. And what you'll do is just go back and review it once. And if you have some extra time, we're only going to spend a couple of minutes on that. Maybe, well, let's go ahead and do 4 minutes. So some of you guys may be working on memorizing that verse. So go ahead and do that for 4 minutes, line by line, cover, uncover. And if you have some extra time then, go ahead, for those of you who have already got your verse down, and start on that verse study form on the second column of that other sheet that I gave you there. So you can do that, and if you haven't finished circling the keywords there in your verse, go ahead and do that in those verses as well as, and you'll want to take your verse and plug it in there to the verse that you'll be doing the verse study on there on that second column. So let's take about 4 minutes and do that. One of my earliest memories of hearing God's word, or seeing it as well, was The King of Kings. It was an old production, an old movie about Jesus. And some of you old-timers might remember that great movie, The King of Kings. And I was watching a black and white on our kitchen table. I was just a little tyke, but I remember watching that and seeing Jesus on the cross and seeing him die there and how he died and what he said, and it hit me. And I ran out of the room. And I was bawling. And I said, I can't believe you did that for me. Thank you. Thank you. Maybe that's when I became a Christian. I don't know. There were a number of places in my life where God just touched my heart. Maybe that was it. So, but God's word will produce in you a response. It will stir you up. One way or another, it's going to produce a response. What are some responses that you can think of that you've had to God's word? And you've heard God's word today. Maybe you've already had some responses. What do you guys think?
Comfort.
Good. So God's word can really comfort you and give you peace. He was talking about peace there. God's word will give you peace. Sure will.
Joy.
Great. Joy. One of the verses says that. Which one is it? Psalm 119:14. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. It'll bring you great joy. Really will. You want happiness? That's where it's at. It's God's word and his person in your life. Yeah, it's awesome. That's right. That's right. So sometimes when you see the power of God too, you might even fear. And so that's what it says in Psalm 33:8. It says, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. There you go. So when we see something like Katrina, and you look on the map, or you look from a satellite, and you go, see that storm, you go, whoa, and you see that little eye, and it's just, you know, makes the hairs of your hairs of your body stand up, and you just go, whoa, that is power. Or a tornado, or some of his power, and it might cause you to fear as well. As a matter of fact, many times that's your first response when you realize who God is, and you're believing in who God is. The beginning of wisdom is fear. Fear is the beginning of wisdom. And so fearing him, that's a response. And being awestruck.
Another example was Jared sharing about Ecclesiastes, about the futility. You know, you get to read it, it's like, God, it's kind of depressing. But then hopefully through that, kind of motivates you to, I think you went on about, you know, teach us to number our days. And, you know, so you read a scripture like that. Some can be, you know, oh, man, it's kind of that.
Uh-huh. And we'll come back to that. But what I want you to do is go right back to your verse. And what we're doing here is we're working through the good method. Pick out the verse, find the time, write it down, address fore and aft, line by line, there out of 2A, and then get it word perfect once, then again, and we're coming back in increasing intervals. And I probably went a little bit long right there. But after you've memorized the verse, walk away for about a minute, then come right back to it. And so let's go right back to it and review for 1 minute your verse that you've memorized. Minutes up. Hope you got it down. If not, you can continue to work on it here in just a minute. So God's word is going to produce in us a response. And in the end, I don't know if you can see that very well, but in the end, you're moving toward a great love for God. So as you respond to God eventually, it's just going to build more and more in you a love for God. And God's word will do that. John 17:26 is just a verse that to me is amazing. As Jesus is talking to his heavenly Father and he's praying for his disciples. So this is the priestly prayer of Jesus. This is the Lord's prayer, if you will. And so he says, the name which you have given me, I have given to them. Excuse me, that's not it. That's the glory. That's verse 22. It says, I have made your name known to them. And will make it known, Jesus is talking to his Father. I have made your name known to them and will make it known that the love with which you did love me may be in them and I in them. That's amazing. We can have God the Father's love in our hearts for Jesus as we look at him and the great sacrifice that he made. And all that he did and all who he is, it stirs our heart. And God is putting his heart of love for his son into us. And Jesus says, how do you do it? By getting to know him and getting into his word. Jesus says, and I have made your name known to them and will make it known that the love with which you did love me may be in them and I in them. So that's intimacy. And that's a response. If you want to love God, get into his word, get to know him, and he's going to begin to move in your heart. That is real power. So let's go back to your verse again and review it for 1 minute. And if you have some extra time, go ahead and press on to that verse study. Good. Psalm 45:1 says, "My heart is stirred by a noble theme as I recite my verses for the king." So God will stir your heart as you get into His Word and memorize His Word and get a handle on it. God will stir your heart and move you and change your life from the inside out. And He gives you also great purpose. So initially, when we came to God, our initial response was belief after we heard. Romans 10:14 talks about this. It says, "How can they call on Him whom they have not heard?" Excuse me. "How can they call on Him whom they have not believed? How can they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without a preacher?" And so here somebody came at one time and told you about Jesus. This is the preacher, or whoever it was. Friend, your wife, your papa. And you heard it, and you had open ears to hear it. And then it caused a response. And that response was is that you believed in God's Word. And you had a response or an application. You followed through in your belief. Belief always has an action. You hear the Word, and belief, by the way, is always based on a word. So you hear the Word, and then you respond with action. And what do? You call on the name of the Lord to be saved. So how can they call unless they believe? How can they believe unless they've heard? How can they believe? How can they hear unless there's a preacher? And how can there be a preacher unless someone's sent? We are all sent ones. We all have this call. Lots of us don't believe it. We don't believe that we're called to a lost world to reach out and to share God's love with them, but we are. And so that's another reason to memorize God's Word. It's His love letter to us. It produces a response to Him, and one of the responses is that we're loving others and we're beginning to minister to them. And so we've got this great call, the Great Commission, Matthew 28:18-20, and Jesus says, "Teaching them to observe all that I commanded you." So if you want to be effective, you want to be equipped, you got to know God's Word. If you want to touch people's lives, if you want to move people's hearts, it's the only way. Now, yeah, you can touch people's lives and move their hearts, but guess what you're going to do is you're going to mess them up. You're going to hurt them. You're going to destroy them. Have you ever felt like that? Like everything you touch just turns to rot? That's the way I feel many times. And that's me doing it on my own instead of asking God to do it through me and using His Word and asking for His Spirit's power to do it. But you can touch people's lives in a positive way and build them up and encourage them and point them toward God and to draw them in. And so that's our purpose. Our purpose is wrapped up in knowing Him and in serving others. So let us know. Let us press on to know the Lord. His going forth is as certain as the dawn, and He'll come to us like the spring rain, watering the earth. That's Hosea 6:3. That's my life purpose. And it keeps your purpose on your frontal lobes as you go throughout the day so you don't forget it. Scripture memory will help you do that. And it'll help you be equipped. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Does anybody know that one? It's a good one. All Scripture is God-breathed, or it's inspired by God, and it's profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. So if you want to be equipped to help people and encourage your family, help your wife, then get a handle on God's Word. And one of the great ways to do that is through Scripture memory. Yes?
What scripture was that?
That was 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Now what we're going to do is we're going to break up one-on-one. So grab a partner. And there's 10 of us here. That's just right. I have 5 groups of 2. And just go over that verse. And so what we're going to do is review. And what we're doing now is review. That's 8 under 2A8. Review daily for 1 month. Weekly for 1 year, and continue on with another. This is the only way you're really going to get a verse down and continue on in Scripture memory is to have an accountability partner. You need it. So we'll talk a little bit more about that in just a minute. But let's break up, and just for a couple of minutes, about 4 minutes, we'll just share our verse. We'll go through that. You pass your verse to the other friend there, and he'll review your verse with you. And then you might, if you have time, just share with that person why it is you picked that verse, why that verse touched your heart. So let's do that for about 4 minutes.
extending that period of time, the interval there, where you come back to it, go and do something different, listen to something else, watch TV or what, don't watch TV, but do something different, go back to your work or whatever, and then come back to the verse at increasing intervals. First, just maybe 1 minute after, then 3 minutes after, then maybe 10 minutes after, and then maybe 30 minutes after, and then an hour or two later. And so you need to set aside some time. You need to keep it on your frontal lobes there to come back to the verse throughout the day and then throughout the week and continue to review it daily for 1 month, weekly for 1 year, and continue on with another. John Crawford, many of you guys know who that is. He's one of the ones who kind of heads this thing up. He's a dear brother. He's about 86 years old, I think. And he's continued on in scripture memory. And he says, you know, if I didn't have guys to check me out, if I didn't have an accountability partner, I never would have done it. I never would have continued it. And he says, I know that's wrong. Let me put this mic back on. He said, I know that's wrong. That's the wrong motive. That's not pure and perfect.
Trying to, you know, review my scripture memory the night before I meet with this guy so that I'll have it down just to impress him or whatever. You know, you're not trying to impress him, of course, but yet you need that accountability. And so he says, I'm a cripple. He says, you know, I'm still in my flesh. And he says, you wouldn't deny a cripple a crutch, would you? And so we're still in the flesh. We need a crutch, and the crutch is the accountability partner that you got. It's the fellowship. We need each other. And you're not going to continue on in scripture memory unless you grab somebody who's doing it and say, hey, check me out. I need to get together with you weekly, and let's review our scripture memory over lunch or before work or whenever. Got to do it. And that's the only way you'll continue on. And so that's really important. Continue on with another. Nine under that A part is apply the verse practically. So what you want to do is take the verse that you've memorized and apply it. And in this way, you're building like a monument of remembrance. And so this will help you remember that verse then later as you're going through different problems or in a similar way. If you apply it, that's really important, is apply the verse. So right now, on this one verse, the application is, I forced the application on you, is that you're going to memorize a verse. And so that's a forced application. I'm going to memorize this verse. Another thing might be to just pray through the verse and give thanks to God over some aspect. Maybe he's awed you in some way about something as you read his word and you go, oh my gosh, that's just fantastic. I just want to memorize that verse and just pray it back to him and just praise him for his greatness. And so that's an application. That's a practical application. Maybe it's rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies. Maybe I just want to sing in the choir, you know, and just sing praises to him. That verse just reminds me, I really want to follow through, and I've got a pretty good voice, not me, but maybe you're thinking this, I've got a pretty good voice, and I just really want to follow through and join the choir, you know, and sing praises to God. I just love singing. And rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. So God will speak to you through his word, and you need to be applying it to your life in practical, real ways. And so you need to be thinking about that. How am I going to apply God's word into my life? And as you do that, it becomes a part of you. So I remember when I was struggling with peace in my life, I was really struggling, and I did not have peace. I stayed up that night, and I was thinking, what am I going to say to that builder? I'm so ticked off because that painter, he just didn't follow through and paint this house right. And so I was building a house, and we were in the house, and the paint was beginning to show through on the outside, and I was so ticked off at this builder. We had built the house, and God just took me right to Philippians 4, 6, 7, 8, and 9. It says, have no anxiety about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So first he says, pray about it, and I'll keep your heart peaceful. So I prayed about it that night. And then it says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence and anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. So I had to pull back and say, how about this builder? Is he really that bad of a guy? No, he's done a pretty doggone good job. And I began to think right about him and about the right about the situation. And I began to kind of jot those things down. And so here I was thinking right. So first I prayed about it, got my heart right. Then I got my head right. And that was Philippians 4:8. And then Philippians 4:9 says, and the things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So there's the application. And God was saying to me, what do you need to do in this situation? Is there anything you need to do? Yeah, I need to give that guy a call and talk to him instead of sitting there stewing about it. I need to call him in the morning. Okay, we'll do that, Dave. And quit sitting there staying up and being all upset about it. Just what you're going to do, and then follow through and do it. And so the things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, how can I share that with you? It's because it's like a monument in my life of what God did for me that night when I was struggling in the chaos of my life. And so that really helped me have peace. And as I memorized scripture related to it, now I can share it with other people. And I can point to it, and I can say, hey, look what God did back then for me. And it really helps me then as I go through a tough time when I'm really struggling to pray about it, to think right about it, and is there anything I need to do, God? So that helps me as I go through tough times. It helps me get peace in my life. So apply it. You've got to apply it. That's the only way to internalize it. And if you aren't applying it, you're missing it. Because that's what it's all about, is obedience to Him. And He's going to reveal Himself more and more to you as you do that. John 14:21 talks about that. Use the verse in battle. So, as I struggle with the flesh, and I struggle daily with my tongue, I've got to have verses that convict me and say, this is what you need to do. As I struggle with the flesh about watching certain things on TV, if I'm flipping through, God will convict me. Don't take that stuff into your house, you know. And Psalm 101, 2 and 3, I will be careful to lead a blameless life. When will you come to me? I will walk in my house with a blameless heart. I will set before my eyes no vile thing. The deeds of faithless men I hate, they will not cling to me. So those verses help convict me that this is not what I need to be watching. And I got to have that stuff right there. When I need it, and scripture memory will help me do battle against the evil one. And He's given victory to me over various sins. Now, I'm still battling in other areas, like the tongue. So Psalm 141, verse 3, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. So I'm constantly memorizing some verses that are going to help me do battle to give me victory in my home and in the office. And so that's going to help you do battle, and that's going to help keep you pure. So use the verse in battle to overcome the flesh. And some other suggestions there under B is start with a topical system. The topical memory system by the Navigators, there's probably some out here for sale. You can pick them up at Mardell's or at Lifeway. And it's a group of 60 verses that are topical. It's a great way to start. That's how I got started. And once you get those down, you may not even need any more. Maybe I should have clicked this off before I said that here at a Navigator conference. But once you get those down, man, you're equipped. And that is fantastic if you can get those 60 verses down and hang on to them. I know guys that's all they've got, and that's all they care to get, because they feel like they've got some verses that equip them. Now, of course, they're continuing on reading God's Word and studying it, but they feel like as far as memory work, they just need to keep reviewing those and keep a handle on them. But a topical memory system is great. After you get through that, though, if you get on up to about 100 verses, you've got to separate them by the book. That is, by books of the Bible. Otherwise, you're going to really get confused. You can't continue on memorizing extra verses topically. It'll be really difficult to keep them under those topics. At least it was for me. So I think that you need to go to a different file system in your brain and arrange it by books of the Bible. That was John Crawford's suggestion to me. But have a plan. How are you going to get God's Word into your life? Keep the verses at hand. I've got my verse pack in my pocket, and I keep this right next to my stand where I have my quiet time in the morning. I switch my verses out, not every morning, but almost every morning, about every third morning or so. I'll switch my verses out after I've reviewed them, and I switch out with a new set of verses. I used to keep this in my vehicle. So keep your verses at hand, and you'll be able to use your time wisely then, and use some extra time when you're sitting at the doctor's office or whatever. Pray through the verse. And that's something that we can do here in just a minute. We can pray through our verse, and then what's the context? You can look at the Psalm 119 verses and look at the little areas of Psalm 119. They're broken up, divided into little chapters within a chapter, but that's kind of what it's like. And you can look at the context of the verse. That's really important to understand the verse. And then to do a word study on the verse. That's what we began to do here with this study form. And then cross-reference the verse. All of these verses are actually cross-referenced to themselves. All of these verses talk about the way. And so, how blessed are those who walk in the way, whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord, is the first one. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies. And it goes all the way through to the last one. I have strayed like a lost sheep out of the way. Seek your servant, for I have not forgotten your commandments. So all of those are cross-referenced related to a particular topic. And so to cross-reference your verses really helps too. And it'll help you cross-reference verses later too if you have some verses under your belt. Proclaim the verse. So after you have memorized the verse and you've applied the verse, you can proclaim the verse and what God has done in your life, just as I was doing a few seconds ago in Philippians 4. So tell others about it, and that'll reinforce it in your life. You're equipped, we'll pass it on. And tell your family members about what God has done in your life, and that really helps you keep the verse under your belt as well. And then never stop all the way through. So continue to memorize all the way to the end. John Crawford, now he's 86 years old. He does things a little bit differently. He's sifted through some verses that he's not using anymore, but he's taken some new ones in. And so he does things differently, but he never stops. He continues on. Let's do one thing. Let's pray through your verse. That's what I'd like for you to do, is just spend some time by yourself just praying through that verse that you memorized. Review it, and then pray through it for a couple of minutes here, and then we'll open it up for some questions. Father God, we just thank you so much for your word that speaks to our hearts and how you've spoken to us today. And we pray, Father, that you would just continue to speak, and that our ears would be open, our hearts would be responsive to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So praying through the verse, worshiping God with the verse is really good. That's very important. Set a tune to the verse. So Stan Corley just did that up there. He has memorized Philippians 4, 8, and 9, and he set a tune to that verse. And that's real special to him. You can bet on it. So that's the way the Jews used to memorize scriptures. They would set tunes and they would sing those verses back to God. That's fantastic. And use your verse and worship, your verses and worship. So any questions, any comments, any other ideas? This is kind of my method. You guys may have other methods as well. Feel free to just share those or any other thoughts related to scripture memory.
I'm terrible about it. I study scripture for a week trying to memorize it, and go a day or two and can't remember it, or go at work, can't think of it. So, and being influenced by JK, I decided I was going to teach my boys. I got 2 5-year-olds, and I have them as my accountability partners, because I started teaching them verses, and every night as we pray, we go through the verses. But they started doing some, they started singing them. We were first, and I said, you shouldn't be singing them, but they just like to sing it. And so I got thinking, I heard the song, and I said, that's not a bad way, because they enjoy it that way, and they know it, and they just sing it over, and they make up their own tune to the verses. And most of the time we sit around the I Am's. I'm trying to teach them about Christ, so we sit around those at John 3:16. So it's a good way, and it's a good way to keep me accountable, too. Now, I won't go at the rate that I need to, but, for my boys, trying to get them established in a pattern, which I never did. By the time they get to be this age, they'll have it.
That's great. You're moved it with a love for your boys that desires you desire for yourself to be equipped and to equip them as well. That's fantastic. That's great. Anybody else want to share something or any questions or comments?
Any thoughts on meditation on the word? How and along those lines.
That's great. So a word study is really good. Cross-referencing is good too, and looking at the context. But meditating on that verse and using that in worship is really good. My mom, the one who I mentioned, the only mom I got. Well, actually, I have another mom who raised me as well, another couple of them. But she loved to do word studies, and the way she would do it is she just used a dictionary. And so she'd look at a word like love. So here's one that says, and let me see if I can recite it now, Psalm 119, 165. Those who love thy law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble. I think I said it right. Did I say that right, guys? So love. So there's a key word. And how do you define love? Well, you know, there's three different types of love in the Bible, but yet look in the dictionary and see what that talks about as well. And so, but also just thinking about that and just considering it and meditating, that's really important to do. And as you pray that back to God, that's really great to do, is to think about that. I'm not an expert when it comes to meditation. I get distracted pretty easily. But a study like this helps me to meditate. One of the things that helps me too, it mentions it here, is to write it out in your own words, summarize it. And then too, what I've began to do is to write out my prayers, because I get so distracted in prayer, I get so frustrated sometimes, I think, well, I'm just going to write my prayer out, and then I'll slowly pray that back to God, and then I'll be really focused. And so that really helped me to do that. So I'm kind of one who gets distracted easily. Does anybody else have some other comments on meditation? Yeah. Does anybody else have some other ideas on meditation? Great. That's good, to meditate on that verse. Joshua 1:8 says, do not let this book of the law depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. So,
kind of going along with meditation, your other emphasis there earlier of application.
Uh-huh.
I think you can kind of tie meditation with application. That's kind of, I appreciate your emphasis there to really, it's not just memorizing the verse, it's meditating on the verse, applying the verse. And that's where it takes the work. It's work to memorize a verse, don't get me wrong, and to review your verses, but the application, the meditation, that's...
I need to say one more thing, and that's about legalism on this thing. You know, how many verses have you memorized? And oh boy, you know, you're real excited about memorizing your verses and how everybody else should be doing this. Certainly that's the worst motivation we can have, is thinking that, oh, if I memorize more verses, I'm going to be more pleasing to God, and pride or anything like that. So that's something that we should strike down. Yet at the same time, accountability is very important. So, and yet the accountability, you should realize your weakness in that, and that that's the impure motive of, I need to do this verse so that I'll have it down for my friend tomorrow, but yet God can use that. And so don't forsake scripture memory because you're worried about the legalism. I've got a buddy, and all he does, he doesn't like to memorize verses. So what he does is he takes 3x5s and he writes the verses out. And then over the noon hour, just to renew his mind, he'll take those and just read through them and just enjoy them. I thought, whoa, that looks good. You know, rather than worry about memorizing my verses and everything, I've done that for a long time, I'm just going to do that. And I'm just going to take some verses. So I've got those verses right here in my pocket, that I just take those verses and I just read through them. I don't worry about memorizing them. But you know, Micah 7:7-9 is in here, and Micah 7:18-20, the one that I was trying to remember, one of the new ones, I couldn't help but memorize it. I loved it so much. It just caught me. And so I just got to memorize that. That is so good. That's so special, talking about God's love. Another one was Psalm 86:13. It says, how great your love for me is, very great. You have rescued me from the depths of death. So I had memorized 11 and 12, but when I read 13, I go, oh my gosh, I got to memorize it. I just love it. And the verse picked me. I didn't pick the verse. The verse picked me. And so it just caught me. I just fell in love with it. And so that's what you want to do, is just be moved by the verse and realize that God can move your heart as you get into His Word. And He'll grab you. He'll change your heart. And He'll motivate you. He'll stir you up from the inside out. And God can do that through His Word. Back on the in the back area there, there are some extra verses. One of them that I'd like for you to memorize here over the next few days is this one right here. It's a Psalm 138:2, the one that I mentioned at first. It's a really good verse about God's Word and how He's magnified His Word according to all His name. So if you haven't memorized that one, take it. If you have, take it and give it to somebody else. So there are 10 of them back there, 10 of us in here. And also there's some blank scripture memory verse cards there. You can take some of those as well. So thanks, guys.